Under the Golden Dome is supported by the Iowa Bankers Association. Bankers across Iowa are ready to help Iowans reach their financial goals to get them where they want to go. Learn about the difference of Iowa banks by following Iowa Bankers on Facebook and Twitter.
From Iowa Public Radio News, this is Under the Golden Dome, a weekly podcast about the Iowa legislature. I'm John Pimple. In the 1930s, Herbert Hoover became the first and so far only president of the United States from Iowa. The Hoover Presidential Library and Museum in West Branch has an award inspired by one of his speeches from 1948. Part of that speech says, "Let us remember that the great human advances have not been brought about by mediocre men and women. They were brought about by distinctly uncommon men and women with vital sparks of leadership." Every year, the Hoover Foundation awards two members of the Iowa Legislature the Uncommon Public Service Award.
The Hoover Presidential Foundation established this award 13 years ago to recognize one member of the Iowa House and one from the Iowa Senate who exemplify Herbert Hoover's humanitarian efforts and commitment with uncommon service to the people of Iowa.
Republican Senator Tim Kaputzian was the recipient of this award in 2016. So was Democratic Senator Pam Yoakum in 2018.
I know that Mr. Hoover is here in spirit today as we present this award to Senator Ken Rosenboom.
Only a few people in the chamber know who the recipient of this year's award will be until it is announced. Like previous winners, Republican Senator Ken Rosenboom had no idea.
Thank you. It is an extreme honor for me to serve the constituents of Senate District 40, all the way from the Missouri border up through Pella. And it's a distinct honor, to serve with every one of you in this room. I don't care what your party is. I don't care what your committee is. It's an honor for me, and I thank you for the opportunity to work with you.
And in the House of Representatives...
Well, you guys got me good this morning.
The award is given to a surprised Democratic Representative, John Forbes.
I really want to thank the body for their confidence in me for this award and the great people that I work with this in this chamber. It's an honor every day to walk in here to be with such a great group of people that are moving our state forward. So I want to thank you all, and all have a great day. Thank you.
There is also a change in the makeup of the Senate.
Mr. President, we, your Committee on Credentials, respectfully report that we find the person named in the attached copy of the certification of the Secretary of State duly elected to and entitled to a seat in the Senate for the 88th General Assembly, signed Senators Green.
Charlie Smithson is the Secretary of the Senate. He often speed reads portions of bills or Senate action.
The State Canvassing Board has declared that the special election held on March 19, 2019, the following named person was duly elected to the Office of State Senate for the residue of the term ending January 2, 2021. 30th District, Eric Giddens, signed by the Secretary of State, Paul Pate, countersigned by myself. That is your report, Mr. President.
Democratic Senator Jeff Danielson resigned in February. This week, his seat is filled by a Democrat, Eric Giddens, from Cedar Falls.
I repeat your full name.
I, Eric Giddens.
The Senate now has all 50 seats filled. The party breakdown is the same as it was in January. 32 Republicans, 18 Democrats.
This bill is a bill that's come before us previously in previous sessions. It's a bill dealing with the prohibition of traffic enforcement cameras.
Republican Senator Jake Chapman is the floor manager of what is the annual attempt from the Senate to ban cameras that document moving violations. The ticket doesn't become part of their driving record and won't affect their insurance.
Look, this has been going on for a long time, and frankly, the thing that disturbs me the most is the fact that local authorities have not been honest with Iowans, and that is that this is to generate money for the cities. That's what it is. It's to generate revenue for the city.
Democratic Senator Claire Selsey asks Senator Chapman to yield to questions about the bill.
Guess what I got in the mail yesterday?
I hope it's not a citation.
It was.
Senator, I am sorry to hear that.
You know, I deserved it. I was going, I think, 76 and a 60.
Not good.
Every
not
time
good.
I hear Highway to the Danger Zone on KIOA, I get a little crazy on 235.
I can appreciate that, Senator.
Yes. So, when I get those tickets, I say to myself, slow down. on 235, because that stretch of 235 where the traffic camera is located in my district, by the way, is a dangerous place to drive. There are folks coming to the tournaments downtown. There are people driving giant ag trucks through there. There are people like me who are just late to work and trying to get here fast. When people get a traffic camera ticket, I think it frees up our law enforcement to do other things. In fact, I know that. I've talked to the Des Moines PD, and they tell me that every day when I ask them. Also, it increases safety. So safety and freeing up law enforcement to do other things are really what I'm concerned about. So I'm forced to not support this bill, and I think it's misguided.
Republican Senator Brad Zahn is a longtime supporter of abolishing traffic enforcement cameras.
It's really becoming abusive in the state of Iowa, and it grows every year. We talk about this every year. I always give the example of Windsor Heights, which I think is the most abusive city in regards to these traffic enforcement cameras in the state of Iowa, where they artificially slow down the speed on University Avenue. They have a camera at the top of the hill, and approximately 6 blocks to the west at the bottom of the hill, there's another camera.
Senator Zahn says these are money grabs for the companies that operate these cameras, who take a percentage of the fines.
It's in the area of 50 to 60%. This is a racket, is what this is. And it goes against the principles in regards that you're presumed innocent until proven guilty. I could go on and on and on. I've become the poster boy on this. But fact is, it's the right thing to do. And I want to make it very clear, our traffic laws are there for a reason. They need to be obeyed. But I got to stand up when our citizens are being taken advantage by these gotcha cams.
Democratic Senator Nate Bolton says the due process issue of such systems has already been discussed.
An argument that has come up time and time again on any speed enforcement operation. Was it constitutional to use an unmarked vehicle? Was it constitutional to use airplanes to enforce? All those questions have come up time and time again, and our courts have vetted those due process rights time and time again. The reality is there are times that this system is necessary to meaningfully enforce and apply our laws on our roadways.
In his closing remarks, Senator Chapman says because the ticket is issued as a civil, not criminal violation, it doesn't allow a person to easily challenge it.
Now, hopefully we can all agree that when you are speeding or you're going through a red light or stop sign, that is a moving violation. Does anyone disagree with that? You are literally moving. It is a moving violation. But that's not the citation. No, that's not the citation, because you can't cite them criminally with an automated traffic camera because the Sixth Amendment. So instead, we're going to do this little loop around, and we're going to make it a civil penalty. We're going to make it a civil penalty. Come on, folks. We know what this is.
This bill passes. 2 Democrats vote for it, and 3 Republicans vote against, including Senator Dan Dawson, who has served in law enforcement. The bill can come before the House, but last year a similar bill did not pass. This is the legislative podcast, Under the Golden Dome, from Iowa Public Radio. I'm John Pimble. Although Republicans control both chambers, they don't always agree on bills. In a House Judiciary Subcommittee, they are discussing a bill that passed in the Senate 47-2. It's about expanding what constitutes a threat to people gathered in a large space. That could be work, school, or a concert. Right now, it's already illegal to make a bomb threat, but other kinds of threats are harder to pin down. Lobbyist for the Iowa County Attorneys Association, Kelly Myers, says this bill helps define more threats.
When you have threats of a school shooting, whether those are communicated in person, by phone, in writing, or electronically, or simply post it on social media, which is oftentimes what they see, that can create a great amount of fear and anxiety and disruption.
If you are having a hard time understanding Kelly Myers, it's not just you. Even the representatives in this room are struggling to hear. The House Lounge is typically a noisy space with people having many conversations. This bill takes into account someone threatening serious injury or death to people gathered in a space, for example, suggesting that they will start shooting people. If found guilty, the punishment is a Class D felony, which is up to 5 years in prison and a $7,500 fine. Kelly Myers says she's okay if they want to lower it to an aggravated misdemeanor, which is up to 2 years in prison. She has been lobbying for this bill since the first few weeks of the session. When this bill came to the Senate floor for debate, it was amended with a second section about cyber harassment, something that wasn't part of the early lobbying efforts. Democratic Representative Brian Meyer says the language in this new cyber harassment section is too broad. Meyer illustrates this with a hypothetical social media post that could be interpreted as a threat.
But if I say the Capitol's full of nuts, revenge would be sweet, I'm not talking trying to harm anybody. I'm saying I don't like the Republicans in charge, and once we take charge again, we're going to overturn everything that these guys have done. That's my intent, where it could be, if we pass the statute, that could be, intent... You know, intent and what you mean it can be interpreted in very different ways, and it's very broad.
The cyber harassment section says if a person makes a threat with online communication and the recipient's interpretation causes physical or emotional harm, the punishment would be a serious misdemeanor. The three representatives of this subcommittee agree this second section of the bill needs more work. The chair is Republican Representative Bobby Kaufman.
Acceptable. I'm going to have a hard time arguing the second part. I'm willing to continue to look at it, but...
Representative Kaufman says before advancing this bill, he'll talk to the senator who authored the cyber harassment section to improve the language or maybe even remove it. As to the first section of the bill, Kaufman recommends changing the penalty from a Class D felony to an aggravated misdemeanor. In 2017, the Medical Cannabidiol Act was passed. It's what made possible the opening of 5 dispensaries last December. Cannabidiol is processed marijuana. It comes in the form of a capsule, oil, or a cream. The THC level cannot exceed 3%. A person who wishes to obtain this must apply for a card to the Iowa Department of Public Health. It must also include a document signed by a healthcare practitioner stating the patient has an approved condition. A bill that comes before the House of Representatives expands parts of the Medical Cannabidiol Act. Republican Representative Jared Klein.
First of all, we're going to replace the term untreatable pain with severe chronic pain.
To be able to get product, one must be diagnosed with an approved condition. There are around a dozen listed in the act. Adding untreatable pain broadens who may be able to have access to cannabidiol products.
We're also going to go in to allow nurse practitioners and physicians' assistants to recommend this product for their patients. This is a very important issue for rural Iowa, where we do have a shortage of these professionals, so I believe that's an important one that we include in here as well.
This means a nurse or physician assistant could recommend a patient receive a cannabidiol card. Previously, only a doctor could do this.
We're also going to allow people that have previously been denied because of certain past convictions to now have access to this card. We don't want somebody's past necessarily to dictate their medical future.
Previously, people who had been convicted of a drug offense did not qualify for this program. This proposal eliminates this barrier.
Probably the biggest component of this bill is we are going to strike the 3% THC limit that we currently have in place and replace it with a gram limit of 90 days.
Which means the products can be more potent, but a person will be limited to receiving 25 grams of THC in a 90-day period. Democratic Representative Wes Breckenridge says there can be exceptions.
Have the medical board create a waiver program for somebody that has a debilitating disease with less than a year to live.
The patient's caregiver would perform an examination concluding 25 grams of THC every 90 days is not
enough to alleviate the patient's debilitating terminal medical condition.
You know, a lot of back and forth on, well, what's the allowable percent of THC we should allow someone, or why is it my business?
Republican Representative Jeff Shipley supports this bill, but he says marijuana should be expanded much further.
At the end of the day, I want patients to use whatever medicine they see fit. And, you know, I look at what the current pharmacists are recommending and the opioid epidemic that we're seeing. That's one question I've always had is how many people have died from marijuana overdose? I've never seen a statistic on that. I know a lot of people are dying of opioids. Iowa Department of Public Health gives itself a pat on the back because less people are dying of opioids. But I've yet to see a single statistic on someone who's overdosed on marijuana.
Representative Jared Klein says any legalized form of marijuana is something legislators have a great difference of opinion on.
But we came together and found reasonable solutions, reasonable responses to help sick people in the state of Iowa, because quite frankly, unfortunately, the federal government has not been doing their job, and they've left it to those of us in the states to address it. So that's what we're doing here. That's what we have been doing for a number of years, trying to provide relief to sick Iowans.
The House passes the bill with only three representatives opposing, Republicans Skylar Wheeler, Terry Baxter, and Stan Gustafson. It's now eligible for the Senate to consider in debate. This is Iowa Public Radio's weekly legislative podcast, Under the Golden Dome. I'm John Pimple. Earlier during the session, a Senate bill referred to as a personhood bill did not advance through a committee. That bill defined someone as a person from the moment of conception until natural death. It made it a crime to deliberately harm a zygote. That bill was an attempt to restrict abortion. This week, a bill about a pregnant woman's baby dying refers to the baby as an unborn person. It is floor managed by Republican Senator Jake Chapman.
This is a serious bill dealing with fetal homicide. And what this bill does is it increases the penalties for those who kill a child in the womb and makes it consistent with our other murder penalties.
The bill states the phrase, a person who terminates a pregnancy without the consent of a pregnant person. But Senator Chapman offers an amendment to change it.
Changes language that we've had in our current code regarding terminates a human pregnancy and changes it to causes the death of an unborn person.
Chapman says the language change will give rights to an unborn fetus.
It recognizes that that is a person in the womb and as such should have rights. And in particular, I want to address one concern that this does not relate to abortion. And for those of you who have been here a while know how strongly I feel on the issue of life when it comes to abortion. This bill, however, does not address that. This is non-consensual. This is against a mother's will. This is situations in which people are committing crimes, taking the life of an innocent baby, and as such should receive proper punishment.
Democratic Senator Janet Peterson doesn't think this amendment, which changes the words human pregnancy to unborn person, is related to the bill.
President Schneider, I ask for a ruling on germaneness on this amendment.
Republican Senate President Charles Schneider listens to the senators during a private conference at the well for 2 minutes. Then he announces his decision about her challenge.
Senator Peterson, your point is not well taken. We are dealing with the same subject matter. We're in the same chapter and subsections of the code, so the amendment is germane. Is there any further discussion on the amendment? The chair recognizes the senator from Polk, Senator Peterson.
Well, President Schneider, I'm disappointed in your ruling. I believe this amendment is not germane to the bill because essentially what the Chapman Amendment does, it turns this legislation into a personhood bill, which is quite extreme and unconstitutional. It calls into question many things. This bill could prevent Iowans from starting a family using in vitro fertilization and surrogacy that relies on IVF practices. There are no safeguards with this legislation that would protect common forms of family planning, including IUDs and birth control pills. This bill also could open the door to investigating all pregnancy loss coming after women at some of the hardest moments of their life after losing a baby to miscarriage and stillbirth.
Senator Chapman says only a crime can trigger the penalties in the bill.
A crime that is committed, that the person is charged, is what triggers this to go into effect. And I take exception to that this would somehow deal with IVF at all.
The amendment substituting the words unborn person 20 times in the bill's three pages passes. This bill has a dozen sections with different scenarios of a pregnant woman's unborn child dying and what penalties would apply. The first section states if the unborn person dies during the commission of a forcible felony, the penalty is a Class A felony, which is a life sentence without parole. Democratic Senator Rob Hoag says the newly amended bill now affects people committing a crime who do not know a woman is pregnant.
The bill that had our support in the Senate Judiciary Committee said if you knew or reasonably should have known that the person was pregnant. So what we now have is a strict liability offense. You know, the scenario would be you have some young people, 18, 19-year-olds, committing a robbery felony. The person who happens to be in the presence of that robbery is a pregnant woman that they don't know is pregnant, and the stress of the event causes a miscarriage. We're now saying that that person would go to prison for life.
Hoag says this bill allows for more circumstances of a miscarriage to be questioned. In the case of drunk driving, if an unborn person is killed, the penalty is a Class B felony, which is 25 years in prison.
Had too much to drink, drunk driving. They now have an accident that wouldn't have killed a child but does cause a woman to miscarry. They're looking at 25 years in prison. Didn't know, had no reason to know the woman was pregnant. The example I gave of the young people who are committing a robbery. I think somebody is going to go to prison for life without the possibility of parole. Ending, causing a woman to have a miscarriage without ever knowing that she was pregnant. And to me, that's excessive punishment for what has been done.
During closing remarks, Senator Chapman says the change he made to the bill concerning intent better conforms to what is already law. It also increases the penalties.
And what we're doing is that it mirrors. So in your case that you proposed here, someone went out and drank too much, made a choice. Drinking and driving, not good, right? Went out, made a choice, and if they kill that mother of the car, they're going to be charged with a felony. And what we're doing is we're saying if you kill the baby, you're going to get the same charge. It's not going to be a lesser charge. It's going to be the same. Finally, we have a bill that recognizes the dignity and the rights of that human child in the womb. The same as the human life that's carrying that child.
On party lines, this bill passes through the Senate. If House leadership chooses, they can also bring it up for a debate. This is Under the Golden Dome, a weekly podcast about Iowa's legislative process. I'm John Pemble. A priority for Governor Reynolds passed the Senate, a bill allowing hormonal contraception to be obtained from a pharmacist without a doctor's note was approved. Proponents say it expands access for birth control for women over 18. It received praise from Democrats, but they took the opportunity to point out when they proposed a similar bill, it didn't have Republican support. Another priority for the governor passed in the House is a constitutional amendment that would restore the voting rights of felons. The vote was 95-2. A big thanks going to Iowa Public Radio Statehouse reporter Katerina Sestarik for her daily stories and discussions about the many things happening at the Capitol. Also thanks to the Press Pool. They continue to share their insights, enabling a wonderful collaboration. This show also stays on course with help from Iowa Public Radio News Director Michael Leland. He also helps shape this series, and he's my script editor. This is a 16 to 17 part show, depending how long the legislature stays in session. They are funded for 110 days, meaning they could be done the first week of May. On Friday afternoons, new episodes pop up in your podcast feed, as well as iowapublicradio.org. Past shows covering bills that went through committees or for debate are now starting to come across the governor's desk for signing. You can go through our archives to follow the origins of Iowa's soon-to-be new laws. Under the Golden Dome is a production of Iowa Public Radio.
Under the Golden Dome is supported by the Iowa Bankers Association. Bankers across Iowa are ready to help Iowans reach their financial goals to get them where they want to go. Learn about the difference of Iowa banks by following Iowa Bankers on Facebook and Twitter.